Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back for another episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. And if you're new, welcome aboard. I'm so glad that you're giving this a shot. I hope you find the content interesting and engaging and even life-changing. Hey, we are in a series, as you well know, and I thought I was going to end the series last week with the subject that I presented last week, but I'm not. The afterlife brought up another set of questions from so many of you. And it really became obvious that the questions throughout the last 4 weeks have surrounded one big thing. And that one big thing is justice. You see, so many of us cannot get our heads around heaven and hell, or any kind of a new paradigm for heaven and hell because of this idea of justice. And so what I am going to do today is explain to you that justice is not what you think it is. Justice is not what you think it is. And, you know, chances are good that any problems you have with this series surround the issue of justice. And I understand that. And today I'm going to offer a new way to understand justice. And I'm going to prove to you that this idea that I'm presenting, it absolutely permeates the scripture. I mean, it's that big. You could hardly find a book of the Bible where this subject is not presented. It's that pervasive. So how do we miss this idea of justice? So as a student of the Living School, I'm always quoting Richard Rohr. And last year, I was down in Albuquerque, and he gave a talk to our cohort about the justice of God. And he used two or three Bible verses that kind of taught that God's justice is not based in retribution. It's based in restoration. And later that evening at dinner, I was sitting next to Richard, and I too shared with him that, you know, I had also found in my studies that justice was really seemed to surround restoration and not retribution. And I asked him, I said, would you be interested in me providing a few extra Bible verses to support this? Because I know there are a lot of people who come from traditional backdrops who are going to struggle with what I'm about to say and what he said in that talk. And he said, yeah, absolutely. He graciously accepted. And I returned to him something that I'm going to give to you and everybody who's listening. If you don't have the online version, go to my blog, Thrive in Exile, look up number 5. At the end, there's going to be a link to 132 verses in the scripture where you can read for yourself that God's goal is not about getting even. It's about making us whole. That is an absolute frame shift in theology. And many theologies crumble apart at that very notion. And some people are very attached to the idea of justice. And so that is why I am going to go overboard on this. I'm way overdoing it in the scriptures. And of course, I can't post them all in the blog, and I'm not going to read them all out. So I've created a PDF that you can go and look and download and read and have them for yourself. But this is so big, I wanted you to have the proof. And for those of you, this is going to be a big pill to swallow. So put your floaties on, because we're going to go to the deep end of the pool now. Okay? Now, most of us only know justice as retribution, getting even, evening the score, paybacks, right? Retribution is the idea that God has to even the score with us. Now, you're a bad sinner. You said bad words. You did bad things. You forgot doing good things. You need to pay the price, right? Retributive justice, then, is the lens through which nearly everyone we know has ever understood the Bible. It's the basis of religion's power plays. It's the basis of the fear tactics that churches play with their parishioners. It's really understandable if you give consideration to the countless verses in the Bible that talk about God getting even, God paying people back, God, you know, the angry God, the mean God, the harsh God, the severe God. And I learned something. I am not here to diminish it and say, well, don't pay attention to those verses. What I'm trying to ask you to do is read a little bit further. Because in each and every single case, if you read a little further, you see a new picture of God emerging. And that is this alternative form of justice known as restorative justice, restoration. It always shows up as long as you keep reading. If you stop when God gets mad, you probably didn't get far enough. Now, retribution means that God is going to do something really severe to those people, right? Those ones that aren't as good as us. The ones who don't believe like we believe, right? Those people of different religions, different faiths, different denominations, different sexual orientations, whatever it is. Those people are the different ones. Those ones who aren't as smart or as clever, as lucky as us, or as blessed as us, right? That is what retribution means. And a lot of people really feel like they need to have an angry God. And I covered this in my series, Is God Mad at You? But you really need God to be mad at us sometimes. That's where this comes from. And if you think about it, when you go through life and you see horrible suffering, just like I do, I look around and I see some of the things that are happening to children. You know, all over the world, the inequality, the harm, this just the raw suffering. Sometimes the only comfort we can get is the balm that a payback is coming to those sons of bitches, right? And that's how we feel inside our heart. Though I didn't say that just to be shocking. I'm saying that so that when you feel that in your heart, when you hear that kind of tone in your internal voice talking about those people, I want you to pause and take notice. Something is going on. And that's that part of you that comforts itself, just like Esau did. You know, he comforted himself with the death of his brother because he was so mad at Jacob for stealing the blessing. Right? And there's something that we comfort ourselves that those people are going to get a payback. I mean, it's the sense that says, God is on my side, so screw them. And I actually heard that in a recent conversation not too long ago. I think we all felt this on the day the Twin Towers fell, right? We hated the terrorists. We hated their religion. We hated everything about them, right? Those people are going to pay one day. That's what I'm getting at. Have you found that part of your soul? Access it, because you really need to get there in order to get beyond this. Now, Jesus told a story about the justice of heaven, right? And most people don't see this parable as a story about the justice of heaven, but he starts off saying this is what heaven's going to be like. So I got to pretty much figure out he's talking about heaven. And then the subject matter really is that of justice, as I'll prove to you here in a minute. So this is a parable, a story that Jesus told about the justice of heaven. And it absolutely destroyed the expectations of his audience. Everybody listening was sitting there with their jaw on the floor going, what in the heck did he just say? It's a total scandal back then. And guess what? It's a scandal today. And it's likely you haven't heard this. This isn't a popular subject. Most pastors don't teach this. The parable of the workers in the vineyard found in Matthew 20, 1 through 16, eradicates retributive justice. No more retribution. It's game over. The story tells about a manager of a field who hires workers at the beginning of the day, and each worker agrees to work for a denarius. And a denarius is the word for a day's wage. So this is what you'd need to be made whole every day. Your day's wage is called a denarius. And so every couple of hours, the manager actually goes out into the city and he finds more people and he has them come and join the work in the vineyard. And he's offering each of them a day's wage. Now, he does this all the way up to the very last hour of work. And when it's time for the payment, he lines everybody up with those hired first all the way down to those hired last. And so when he goes to hand out the payment, he starts with those who are hired last, who've only been working for like an hour or so. And he gives them an entire day's wage. Then he goes down to those who were hired a few hours earlier and a few hours earlier before that. In each case, he's giving each person a day's wage. He's making each person whole along the way. And of course, as he gets down the line, those who bore the work in the heat of the day are getting really pissed. I mean, they're saying it is unfair. That is how I know this is a parable about justice, because justice is your unfair button. Whenever that button gets pressed, you know you are into this space, right? And that is precisely how Jesus is talking about justice. And what's happening is the people that were hired first are complaining, saying, you know, what is going on with you? Right? What is going on with you? Why would you give the people working an hour a full day's wage and not give us several days' wages if that's the way it's going to be? And the response of the manager is not what is expected. He scolds those hired first. And he says, you're trying to begrudge me my generosity. Am I not allowed to be generous as I choose? Right? And this is our clue as to heaven. And to why some people will not accept heaven on these terms. You see, for them, an unfair heaven is not heaven. And actually, they're right. Heaven is not unfair. It's perfectly fair. But see, for the person who thinks that all their religious work, all their good deeds, all their sacrifices, all their duty earns them something more than everybody else who just blew it off, that's the one who's really in trouble. That's the one who's really in trouble. You see, the manager, God, is telling a story here, and he's saying, look, I'm not dividing people up into good and better and best. That's what you guys do with your religions and your scrimmages and your teams and your tribes and your corporations and everything else. You divide people up, but that's not what I do. You see, the religion, church and state, are really the two biggest systems of meritocracy that exist. And those two meritocracies nail Jesus to the cross. You see, heaven is not like them. Heaven is not like the church and state. It's something completely different. This is something completely paradoxical, and that's exactly how all the teachings about heaven go. And so are you getting at this? Because your sense of justice has to adopt this restoration, or else you may miss aspects of heaven. You see, the justice of heaven is not based on merit. It's based on love. It's based in grace. It's based in the generosity of the manager, which is God. Restoration is justice because it makes all things whole. It makes all things complete. It makes all things justified. Restoration is how all things become whole. Retribution is how all things become divided and separated and uneven and unfair, and it just propagates more pain, more suffering, more disadvantage. See, restoration closes the gaps. Restoration presupposes that every single one of us falls short. We don't own or have or know of a religion that gets us all the way across the line. Every one of them falls short. And whether the gap is small or large, it's still a gap. And so at the right time, God makes us whole for no other reason that he or she loves us and wants to do it. You see, the athlete who never drops a ball has more glory than the one who only catches perfect throws. And so God has far more glory by not dropping a single soul than he does by throwing out 99% of all humanity. Restoration is the benchmark of how God will judge the world, not retribution. Retribution is paid in full. Restorative justice has no gradation. You see, all are equally dependent on grace, but there is a catch. You see, restoration cannot be celebrated if hate or prejudice or pride exist in our soul. Think about it. You can't want restoration if you feel like those people deserve to suffer, can you? Because that's hate, that's prejudice, that's your own pride. So if we can't get beyond our unfair button, we cannot enter heaven. I think this is why the gates of heaven are always open. And you see this in Revelation 22. And out of it comes this river of life that's flowing out to the city to heal the disappointed. And the disappointed are not the disappointed because they're suffering. These are people who are disappointed in God because they think God should have done something other than that. Right? This is how the disciples felt at first when they thought Jesus was going to come and usher in a big can of whoop-ass and take out Rome. And they're disappointed when they find out that his kingdom was not a political one. It wasn't a societal one. It wasn't a militaristic one. It was a spiritual one. See, the disappointed stay outside the gates of heaven because they don't want to go in because their framework can't accept heaven on heaven's terms. Think about that. So Jesus concludes with the famous words that we all have heard. The first will be last and the last will be first. And it's paradoxical that those who think that they are closest to heaven, right, our fundies, our most religious, our most vocal religious people are farthest from it. And that was true in Jesus' day. Now, while those people who can't even describe themselves as insiders are so much closer to this kingdom because they understand that it wasn't them that put them there. Does that make sense? It's all about proximity to the kingdom. So those who've come in first and bore the heat of the day and think that it's all about your merit, think that it's about your duty, your output, your hard work, all the sacrifice you made. If you think all of that is what's getting you to heaven, you will be last. It's the person who realizes that you're here not because of anything that you did, but it was because of the generosity of the manager. That's the person who comes in last, who ends up being first. And that's why Jesus tells the religious people in Matthew 21:31, he says, prostitutes and sinners will enter the kingdom before religious people. And here we are again, and I think it's the perfect conclusion to this series. We are back to the old story of the humble and the proud, aren't we? We never get away from it. The story is always about our own humility. And both the humble and the proud are shocked at ultimate reality. They're shocked that justice doesn't work the way they thought it did. And the delighted and the disappointed are not what we expected. It's far better than that. And so when we lay down our right to complain, and I hope that you do that, I hope that you can hear your voice saying, those sons of bitches. And then you can pause and just lay down your right to complain. And when you do that, you'll discover that we create the space for restoration. And we gain the eyes to see the kingdom of heaven. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you. And I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.